My name's Cynthia Wilson, and this message is for you. This podcast covers micro motivators to encourage you to act because small actions can make a big difference in your life. Welcome to episode 13. Today's message is move slowly and with intention. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Lissa Mahalik. Lissa is a movement hacker, somatic movement educator, and therapist. On the surface, she teaches people how to move so they stop injuring themselves and can enjoy their lives again. But what Lissa really does is to help people understand the way they move has a direct correlation to the way they move through the world and how they have conscious control over that aspect of themselves. She uses movement to hack into the body's self-healing protocols and access a world of health focus and pain-free movement you might believe was lost forever. And Lissa teaches companies how to keep their employees healthy, happy, and out of expensive orthopedic surgery. The secret? Your body is on your side. She can show you how to work with it, not against it. Welcome, Lissa.
Hey. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to dive right into it. So let's start by talking about somatic movement. How would you describe somatic movement to someone who's unfamiliar with it?
Now, this is a great question because somatics and somatic movement, somatic anything, is such a buzzword right now. And so it gets slapped onto pretty much anything. I have been working in the somatic field, only about 10 years, so not that long, but long enough to have a fairly intense understanding of what's going on. So the way I would describe somatics to someone who's not familiar with it and who hasn't done it before is that somatics is a category of mind-body practices that does not recognize a difference between the mind and the body. The mind is the body is the mind. That's how we're looking at it. That encompasses Alexander technique, Feldenkrais, basically a lot of mind-body practices. I would include a lot of internal martial arts as well. Those are the things that come to me off the top of my head. Yeah.
Sure. So what are some of the benefits that you have seen with somatic movements?
Ooh, I'd say the most important one is the mind is the body and the body is the mind. There is no difference between the mind and the body. I will also be clarifying that when I say I'm a somatic movement therapist, I am a movement therapist, not a therapist. So one of the things that I get a lot is like, oh, so you work with trauma. That is because people are confusing me with somatic experiencing, which is an entirely different school of thought and action to what I'm actually doing. So the benefits that I usually see and my people usually see, I tend to work on the physical end of the spectrum. So when people come to me with physical issues, we go into the mind-body spectrum and work with that. So what I've seen is getting rid of pain that has been sticking around, breaking out of physical patterns that have been re-injuring somebody over and over and over again. Be like, God, I keep turning my ankle. What's wrong with me? Like, well, it's not you first. It's this pattern that you're going through. And unwinding that pattern can be really helpful to stop those recurrent injuries. Having said that, you will notice that a lot of the language I'm using, changing the patterns and all these things, apply to the mind as well. And one of the things that, even though I am not a psychotherapist, one of the things that people do really get out of this is a deeper understanding of themselves and a change in the way that they move through the world. Because as you unwind your physical patterns, you cannot help but unwind your mental patterns as well.
That's a really interesting kind of perspective to see how they're so connected with this work.
I blame Rene Descartes. Crystal is like the mind is separate from the body. They are totally different things. I'm like, no, bro, no. I could go on for days about that.
Do you have a memorable success story from your experience working with clients or your own somatic movement that you could share with us?
I mean, I have to say that the obvious one is probably me, because one of the reasons I really got into somatics is like when my kid was 3, I thought it was a really great idea to fly to Asia with them and not bring a stroller because they were too big for it. Hoo boy. Yeah. Long story short, I utterly destroyed my L5-S1 disc, and anybody out there with a busted disc, it's probably the one that you've busted. It's very common. I actually was having trouble walking for a while, and it was through somatic methodologies, body mind centering, Feldenkrais, Alexander technique, any number of, it's just a big soup of many different techniques that I've been trained in and I've worked with that has gotten me back to where I am. I train Kung Fu. I went running this morning. I lift pretty heavy. Like, I can do all these things because I have gotten my body out of that pattern that hurts when I move wrong. It took me a while, not gonna lie. It takes patience. But it is so good. And it also means that I didn't have to deal with spine surgery. Spine surgery is always a gamble because things can go wrong. They'll fix one thing and then something else will pop up. So sometimes you need it, but if you can possibly avoid it, I'm all in favor.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I could also talk about several of my clients. I have one client who. She's an older woman, and her doctor had recommended that she get a hip replacement. And she was like, I don't want to get a hip replacement. I'm not ready for that yet. So I was like, okay, let's repattern your movement and work things out. She did eventually end up getting a hip replacement, but it was like 6 years later, and she was in much better shape going into it than she had been before. I'm actually still working with her, and we are making sure that that hip stays healthy and happy as her hip that was not replaced.
Just curious, have you seen like her recovery period and abilities because of the work that you did with her before made it a little bit easier for her as she's coming through that,
Oh, yeah.
going through the recovery too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've had several clients with hip replacement issues, and I would say that in general, they keep reporting back to me. It's like, yeah, my physical therapist is really surprised, and like my doctor has said I was in great shape going into this. I'm like, good, that's because we're organizing you. And when you go into somebody's body and replace a hip joint, it's a big deal. There is, I could talk about that, but I'm not going to because we'd probably have to put trigger warnings on this. It's a little gross. But a lot of things are disturbed in there. And so repatterning how you stand and walk afterwards is so important. If you need to get surgery, then you will get physical therapy. You better get physical therapy. Do not let anybody tell you you do not need physical therapy after any sort of surgery or about childbirth. Again, don't get me started. I'll be here for days. Everybody needs physical therapy once your body goes through a thing. But physical therapy, because of the way insurance works, is all very spot centered. So you go to physical therapy after hip surgery, they will work on your hip, they might work on your knee, but what they will not do is work on your overall way you stand and walk and move because insurance won't let them do that unless they're either very good, very sneaky, bless them, or don't take insurance. So,
Which is then a big expense for the patients.
right. So, with my clients, I look at a whole body system where it's okay, here's how your hip is changing how your pelvis is moving. And oh, yeah, and that's affecting your shoulder, which is then affecting your neck, which is affecting your opposite ankle. And all these things are happening. So, let's make these shifts so that we can handle the repatterning of your entire body after this event that has happened.
That's great example. So thank you so much for sharing them.
I have many. I have so many.
So you mentioned hips. Is that what you would say? And maybe knees, are those the ones that you would see find the most success from somatic movement, or are there others that you have seen that you have really, really benefited from?
Interestingly enough, I get it's like I get things in waves. I had a whole bunch of hip replacements come through at one point, and then I had several people with wrist injuries, with neurological issues in their wrists. Then I had a couple people with a rather uncommon neck syndrome. It's called military neck or like flat neck. What essentially you have a reversed curve in your neck so that your bones aren't quite sitting the way they ought to be, which leads to disc damage and neurological pain, etc. I had it's not super common in my understanding, but I ended up with a couple of them in fairly short order, which is kind of interesting. Thanks, universe. And what was interesting is, one of them was much older, and she actually did need surgery, and so prepping her and recovering from that was a whole thing. But again, very important because when you can't turn your head anymore properly, a lot of things need to be supported. The other person is a she's like in her mid-40s, she's a surfer, and she was getting a lot of neck pain when she was surfing because it requires a lot of spinal extension, and her neck doesn't do that because of the shape of the bones. So we worked with her full spine and lots of stretching and again reorganizing, repatterning. And she's out there hitting the waves in the Rockaways because that's where we surf in New York City.
Nice.
It's true. It's all true. Yes, you can surf in New York City.
That in itself may be like a eye-opening for many
New York City, man, we got it all. It's adorable to see people taking their surfboards in the subway, I have to admit. It is my favorite thing. I have taken a Christmas tree on the subway. I have been that person. Yeah. It's so good.
Awesome. So, how do you measure progress or success in the somatic movement practices?
Well, as we've been talking about, sometimes it's how quickly do you get back to your regular life after surgery, or how quickly do you get out of pain and back into being able to do the things that you came to me to want to be able to do. Like, hey, I want to get back to surfing. Cool, let's get you back on the board. And once you're getting back to your things that you used to do, check, we're done. It's a little bit harder to measure the increase in well-being, but one of the things that I particularly like about somatics is again, the mind is the body and the body is the mind. So as you learn, I don't know, how to take care of your body better, you also realize that your body wants to take care of you. Like your body has evolved over hundreds of thousands of years to keep you from getting eaten by tigers. So its initial job is, hey, let's not die. However, the longer you're around, the longer you get to spread your genes, the longer you get to spread your ideas. And your body has this tendency to, because of the way we are built, there is basically one way the human body is built. We have, I have my teaching skeleton back here. Please meet Napoleon Boneyparts. If you can't name your skeleton a terrible anatomical pun, why are you even in the anatomical skill? Jeez. So Boney here, he's a standard skeleton. And more or less, humans are built one way. Like the hip joint is a ball and socket joint. The shoulder is more or less a ball and socket joint. Wrists move in this way, forearms move in this way. Any physical practice that exists out there that is good is basically going to be telling you the same things. So if you are hearing the same things from a whole bunch of different things, like my yoga teacher is telling me the same thing my Pilates teacher is telling me, which is the same thing as my somatic movement expert is teaching me, like, are they, you know, is this all boring? Like, no, it's the same thing, because there's only one most efficient way for the human body to work. You will, might be hearing it in slightly different ways, but if anybody's telling you something radically different, they might be wrong. There are a few things out there that are teaching some very anatomically non-compatible stuff. So measuring progress and success, I would say it's the decrease in pain, getting back to what you were wanting to get back to in the first place, and an increase in well-being and an increase in connection with your body. Because the mind is the body is the mind, and your body is actually on your side. The more you start recognizing that, the more you start thinking of living in a body as like, this is what I'm working with. From here until I'm dead, I got this. I'm, much as I love Ghost in the Shell, we're not uploading ourselves to the internet anytime soon. And if we did, we would lose everything from the neck down, all the input. There are neurological centers in our gut, in our heart. There is input and feedback that comes from our body that affects our mind very much. And without that, you know, again, I'm a big Ghost in the Shell fan. Who are we really?
Can you tell us a little bit about moving with intention that comes with somatic movement?
Oh, heck yes. This is super exciting, and this is a great message for what I'm here to talk about today. Because a lot of somatics is about slowing down and feeling what's going on inside your body. As you move slowly and with specific intentions, it changes the quality of the movement, it changes your experience of the movement, and it changes your experience of the body. So one of the really neat things about somatics is a lot of somatic disciplines get you to slow the heck down and feel what's going on in your body.
Awesome. Can somatic movement practices be adapted for individuals with limited mobility?
Oh, hell yes. Oh my God. I have had limited mobility. I have friends with mobility disorders, and I have clients with limited mobility. And the whole point is to work with what you've got. One of the things I talk about a lot is there is a platonic ideal of movement and alignment and how your body can be organized. Because that's a platonic ideal, ain't none of us ever gonna get there. It just, no, not gonna happen. But no matter where we are, we can always get closer. Whether you have just gotten out of surgery and haven't been able to move for 6 months, whether you have a mobility disorder, whether you are a professional athlete, you can always get closer to that ideal. No matter where you are, you can always get closer. The closer you get, the better you're going to feel. You know, and somebody who isn't able to move in the same way as a professional athlete will not be at that level, but they can always improve. There is, no matter where you are, you can absolutely get better. It's, as I said, I was in a position where I was very much not able to move for a while. And I've taken that experience and moved it into everything I teach. You know, I teach my group class, Movement Hackers, and it is something that you can take whether you are sitting, standing, or lying down. Whether you are not, if you are not able to do one of those things, it's easy to work around it. Very much so.
Great.
Yeah.
I really wanted to address the people thought, well, I can't do that because,
oh.
And,
honey.
And I, you know, really thought that there's so many adaptations that can be used to help people with varying abilities to help them feel better in their own body.
Absolutely. One of the things I like to talk about is that everybody's body is a poem, you know, like some people are free verse. You can do whatever the hell you want with them. Sure. Do whatever. Free verse is boring for me. Give me at least a sonnet. Give me some structure to work with. And I'm like, sure, you know, you've got nothing wrong with you. You just want to get skinny. It's so boring for me. I'm sorry. No disrespect, but there's a zillion people out there you could work with. And you're like, hey, I've got a knee injury and I want to keep rock climbing. I'm like, awesome, let's go. You know, like maybe you're a sonnet, or maybe you're a Villanelle. Maybe you've got like a ton of things going on with you. That's fine. You can get some great poetry out of a Villanelle. But whatever your constraints, you can absolutely do somatic movement therapy and somatic. I can give you some somatic movement education, because as long as you got a body, you have a soma, which is body in Greek.
So we met on the Joco Cruise, which was fabulous this year. It was really great to experience the somatic movement with the waves of the ocean. That was such a beautiful experience. So have you been doing the somatic movement sessions on cruises for a long time? And what inspired you to share your work as part of your vacation?
Joco Cruise is the only cruise I actually go on. So, and part of it is because of the magic of Joco Cruise, is that like at least half the programming is from participants. And as you may have gathered from listening to me, I am a big nerd. You know, sure, we'll talk Platonic ideals, we'll talk the Descartes mind-body division, and we're also going to get deep into anatomical stuff. Because if you understand what's under the surface, if you understand what's going on in here, you will be able to move it more mindfully and more intelligently. So, one, I'm hanging out with my people. Two, it's an environment in which I am extremely comfortable geeking out big time. And three, because we're so encouraged to share what we know, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, let's do this. And it is. You know, it's been great fun. I've been on the Joco Cruise for, I think this is my sixth year, and I have been teaching something. Like I was teaching anatomy classes my first couple of years, and then I started getting into movement hackers. I was like, oh, this is all the things. Let's do it. So it is fantastic to get in a room with a whole bunch of other people who are really interested in getting into the nitty-gritty and details. And yeah, that is my favorite thing about boat and about being able to teach. And yes, as you said, like having the ocean participating in the class really does make things different. It changes a lot of things sometimes.
That was something that I came back with. Like, it was really interesting to kind of just feel that movement and recognize how my body reacted, because this was my first cruise ever. So I was just trying to understand how I felt being on a boat for that long. And then also when I got off the boat, how I continued to feel as if I was on the boat for a few more days.
Yep, the land boatiness, it's a whole thing.
Yes, but it was a great experience, and I'm so grateful for you to have taught that those classes there. It may seem so simple, but it was just a really nice way to start early in the day and just take a step back from everything else that's going on and really just connect with, myself and, a few others in the room.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so glad you came.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was aiming for. So it's
Yes.
great to hear that that worked.
Awesome. So, what advice would you give to someone considering exploring somatic movement for the first time?
I would say be careful who you start with, because again, somatics is becoming a bit of a buzzword and people are just slapping it onto any old thing. It's a lot more than, where do you feel this in your body? Great, let's shake it out. Great, you've now released your trauma. No, honey, you haven't. If you really want to do deep somatic trauma work, you are going to need a therapist who works on the psychological side, not the physical side, so not me. But you are going to need somebody who really knows how to unpack all the things, because you are going to get deep And when you get deep, you will be able to unearth the things. It's fantastic, actually. It's very effective, and I highly recommend it. If you are working with somatic movement on the movement end, then again, you want to make sure that somebody knows what they're doing. I would suggest exploring somebody who knows Feldenkrais, somebody who does Alexander technique. I am certified in dynamic embodiment somatic movement, which is a combination of body-mind centering, Laban movement analysis, and Bartenieff fundamentals. So it's a bit more from a dancerly perspective. I've been a dancer for many years. So look into the people that you are studying with and make sure they know something about movement. And because again, I've seen a lot of things where people will just kind of slap the label on. And somatics can go very deep, which is wonderful. Like, that's the whole point. Like, let's go deep. Let's connect with ourselves. Let's really understand our bodies and who we are and how we literally move through the world. I am actually doing a mentorship with a woman named Ellen Goldman who works with something called action profiling. She's in a direct lineage from Rudolf Laban. She's worked with Kestenberg, she's worked with Warren Lamb, and action profiling is all about looking at somebody's movement and being able to see how they prefer to gather information and make decisions, which is actually a thing that you can do. It's fascinating, it's really interesting. And that is something I'm moving into, and that's part of what is blending into Movement Hackers, is that discovering yourself through movement. Because the mind is the body is the mind. How you think literally affects how you move. And yes, how you move can affect how you think too. Anyone who's ever said, put that Buddha smile on or stand up tall and proud is using that technique in a way. But you want to know what you're doing.
Yeah. You work with an interesting combination of anatomy and somatic movement. Can you tell us how that came together for you?
Way back in the dawn of the century, I was a baby personal trainer, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Actually, I need to go back even farther than that, come to think of it. So, way back in the early 90s, holy expletives, I was a whitewater kayaker, and one of the things that my course was doing, back in high school, one of the things that my teacher encouraged us was to teach each other. So I started teaching really early. And one of the things that I've learned real fast is that movement efficiency is everything. If you have an efficient forward stroke, you can go out and play in the surf all day. But if you don't, your arms are going to get really tired. You're going to have to go in. You're going to be like, oh, I'm all sad and sore. So, an efficient forward stroke is really important so you can go and play on the river all day. So, that started me on movement efficiency and how the body works. Then, exercise science, etc. Eventually, I moved to New York City. I was going to be a writer. Turns out it's really hard to make a living doing that. So, I started personal training on the side to make some money. And that got me like right down the anatomy rabbit hole. As soon as I finished my first certification, I was like, this is great. I want to learn more. So I signed up for the most technical continuing education they had. They actually stopped teaching that one for a while and they revamped it because it is kind of my first deep anatomical dive because we had to learn the origins and insertions of all the major muscles because the way you stretch a muscle is you take one end and you move it away from the other end. And if you don't know where those two ends are, you can't stretch efficiently. But when you know where the ends are, it's easy. So I ended up hanging out more and more with people who are super into anatomy and geekiness. And I started realizing and noticing that the better I knew the structures of the body, the better I could teach. And the better I could explain the structure of the body, the better my students and clients could listen and understand. So For many years, I was teaching anatomy classes for dancers because dance and martial arts are two practices that are deeply traditional. It's, I do this exercise because my teacher did this, and my teacher's teacher did this, and my teacher's teacher did this. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes exercise science has moved on and we need to do something different. Lord, the number of teenage dancers I've seen with career-ending injuries before they've even gotten into college. Yeah. So understanding your anatomy and how the human body actually works and knowing when to push it and when not to push it, this is something I'm extremely passionate about because, again, when, you know, I like working with injured people, and when you see a lot of injured people, you start to realize that when people understand what's going on in their bodies, they are less likely to injure themselves. Once you start opening that door to anatomy, there is no end. You can just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But once you understand anatomy, it's a lot easier to take better care of your body because you know how it should work and how it shouldn't work. And if you are being encouraged to do things that your body shouldn't be doing for whatever reason, then having that knowledge gives you more power and more choice. Because you can decide, do I really want to do a 180 degree turnout at the hip? Can my body do that? Am I compensating with my knees? This is why so many dancers blow out their knees. Maybe my hips do 180 degrees. How often am I going to do that in my life? If my dance form requires a certain posture that is maybe not so healthy for the low back, how long do I want to do this dance form? How often do I want to put myself in this posture? And how do I take care of myself outside of dance class to make sure that I have longevity in my career? Like, it's possible you can do that if you're an athlete, if you're a dancer, if you like, you know, if you like to do weird things with your body, hey, respect. Just know how to take care of your body, keep things strong, and go out of your daily range of motion mindfully and deliberately instead of, I can do this, wee, until something breaks.
Awesome.
Like I said, I get excited.
I love it.
Yay.
So how can people find you and learn more about somatics and or anatomy from you?
I am on many of the socials, at Somatic Anatomy. I'm on YouTube, on LinkedIn, Instagram, some on Facebook. I don't actually check that one so often. I'm not on TikTok because most of the people on TikTok are too young to have broken enough things to come talk to me. But you can also find me at somaticanatomy.com/welcome or just somaticanatomy.com.
So, well, thank you so much for your time today, Alyssa. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Likewise.
And so just a reminder to everyone here that today's message is to move slowly and with intention, and this message is for you.